Hello.
Hello.
We're back. Welcome to Lena's Architecture Podcast. I am Lena and this is...
Peter, catering and assistant to the talent.
Thank you. Okay, what am I doing? I'm doing my EPQ. You're probably quite bored of hearing this intro. My EPQ is I have to answer a question and I didn't want to do an essay, so I'm doing a podcast. My question is, how might architectural preservation play a role in maintaining the soul of a modernising city like London?
One time.
It just rolls off the tongue. Wow.
It does what now?
Yeah. Okay, recap of last podcast. We went to see Buckingham Palace, Carlton Terrace, Clarence House. We did go see Park Crescent. It's not on the podcast because it was a bit bad.
What was bad about Park Crescent?
We went to see Burlington Arcade.
The facade on Piccadilly.
Yeah.
What was bad about Park Crescent?
It really just didn't slap. It was just the audio we had wasn't good. We didn't have a good info like I'm doing right now. We were waffling.
Okay, fine. Less waffle, more content.
Yeah. This time, we haven't got feedback of the last one because I did upload it very late. I apologise for that. But this time we're going to go to... Where are we going? We're going...
Well, no. Last time Regency.
Last time was Regency. This time we're doing Victorian. Whoop whoop. We're gonna go see the Royal Albert Hall, the V&A Tower Bridge, and the Church Immaculate of Conception.
No, the Church of the Immaculate Conception.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Got to swat up in your Bible study.
Sorry. Okay.
So, what can you tell me about the Victorians?
Right, they're interesting folk.
Are they?
I don't know. Funnily enough, I wasn't around that at the age.
Are you implying that I was?
I don't know, you tell me. Anyway, the era's production and the wealth of London had skyrocketed and we were very rich and they just were throwing houses out.
Well, it was also the time of the omnibus and that's when our house was built.
Yeah.
But, we're going to look at some landmarks. So what are you going to talk about there? What kind of style should I be expecting? What am I going to go, ooh, that's nice, about?
It goes, like, we're going back to Gothic Revival. So we're
gonna go
back to the OG episode, medieval. it was not very well done. We were beginners.
Okay, speak for yourself.
We still are, let's be honest.
Until we're paid, we're all amateurs.
Yeah. Oh, imagine getting paid to do this. It would make sitting down and editing for hours worth it.
You think so?
You don't edit.
That's true. I don't edit, produce, direct, research, anything.
It's painful. Okay. Anyway, so it goes back to Gothic Revival and...
And what is Gothic? What do we see when we see Gothic?
Tall, skinny, lots and lots and lots of detail. They've got the stained glass, but we're not going to see much of that.
I don't know.
We're going back to church. Last time we didn't see a church. We're going to go see a church this time. What else? I don't know. But it's made of... Because we're moving more into residence and housing, there's more... more colourful brickwork rather than the plain, like...
Just the yellow brick of in Georgia?
Or plaster.
Yeah, okay.
We're moving out of that and we're moving into...
Colourful brick and tile.
Yeah.
Okay, industrial manufacturing.
Yeah, and asymmetrical. We're not
asymmetrical, okay.
So, that will...
So, losing the rhythm, going for lots and lots of... Oh, this doesn't look good.
Oh, no. Do we not have train?
Trains? We just heard a train.
That was going the other way.
Okay.
Okay, we can keep going. The interiors are also going to be very high ceilings.
Okay.
Carved wood, panelling, intricate tile work.
Ooh.
Reflecting the maximalist tendencies.
Oh, maximalist.
Maximalist.
They liked colour. They liked lots... people would ask them if they wanted to do these things and it would be either or, and they would just say yes. Do you want to do a very colorful ceiling or wood paneling? And they would say yes. Yes.
We're going to do both.
We're going to do both. Bigger.
What else? So Victorian Archer thrived from 1837 to 1901. Wait, should we wait for the announcement?
You'll be pleased to hear that the train is on time.
Oh, they changed the things. That's what? So funny. The thing, the display board's different. They didn't used to have the train carriages.
Okay.
You know,
this is somebody else's reference, but doesn't it make you feel better when other people have done some of the waiting for you?
Yeah, we've got one in 3 minutes.
So.
Three monitos. Okay, anyway, any hoodles. Victorian Archer thrived from 1837 to 1901, mirroring Queen Victoria's reign, of course. We're going to move on to King Edward next. The period witnessed unprecedented urban growth and technological advancements leading to diverse housing for all social classes. Innovations in construction and materials fueled by the Industrial Revolution enabled the area's distinctive and varied architectural expressions.
Okay, so that's the tiles, that's the bricks, that's the steel.
Yeah, that's why we're moving into smaller bricks, because they could be manufactured more easily.
Ah, okay. Yeah? And with greater variety.
Yeah.
Ooh. Look for
the Victorian era's architectural diversity was driven by technological processes, as I said, pioneers like Augustus Penguin. Penguin.
Okay. No? As the assistant to the talent, I will help with a little bit of pronunciation here. We're looking at.
Pugin?
Okay, yeah, that was probably that was as good as it gets.
Augustus Pugin.
Is that a real name?
Who was an advocate for Gothic Revival's moral and spiritual values, greatly influenced the era.
Okay, so people looking back to the cathedrals of old and saying we need to be more godly.
This is also when the Royal Institute of British Architects was founded.
Oh, I see.
In 1834. So, Reba, hello. You have joined the party. and this played a crucial role in professionalising and diversifying architectural practices. So this is why we're moving out. This time we don't have a set architect that we're looking at.
Okay.
We've got a lot of different ones, and it's due to things like this.
Ah.
Because we've got companies and corporations who helped push and diversify the architectural style.
Okay, and more money to push into other things. Okay, and so, but, you know, you talked about urban expansion, but you've selected some buildings that you think are very, well, remarkable and noted and would be sort of a highlight reel, if you will, if you were going to do a tour.
Yeah, instead of going to see people's houses, we're going to go see the Royal Albert Hall, the V&A Tower Bridge, and the Church... Okay, I'm going to get it right. Church of the Immaculate Contraception. Conception.
I don't think the Pope would be down with that one.
Okay, but yeah.
All right, let's go. It's a sunny day. Let's hit it.
Aloha.
What?
I don't know. We're currently looking at Tower Bridge from one of its viewing sight lines.
Very good. Yeah. And this is
So you can see
London.
It between buildings. So this is like diving into the whole part, making it a part of the city.
Of a modern city, if you will.
Yes, with the glass buildings to either side of us, and then this gorgeous tower bridge in front of us. Okay, some interesting facts about Tower Bridge.
Please, lay them on me.
Tower Bridge was opened with a lavish ceremony by the future King Edward VII and Queen Alexandra. Yeah.
Nice, classy.
A London bus once had to leap from one bus school to another as the high bridge began to rise.
What?
Yeah.
I thought that was only in movies.
Apparently not. Oh. The bridge was originally powered by steam until 1976, when it switched to oil and electricity.
1976?
Yes.
Wow.
Really recently.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, well, never mind.
And Tower Bridge opens less than 100 times a year compared to the 1,000 times in 1894.
Okay.
So that's like more, 3 times a day.
Wow. Now it's one time, 2 times a week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Once every 3 days.
Yeah, okay, we just said the same thing. How do you want to math your math?
Fine. Tower Bridge is a blend of Victorian Gothic style and structural steel framework, making it unique among London bridges. Its distant appearance, with two majestic towers connected by a high-level walkway, complements the nearby Tower of London, reflecting the city's historical and architectural grandeur.
Okay, and most people, what do they call this instead of Tower Bridge? They call it
London Bridge.
Yeah, London Bridge, exactly. London this Bridge. Is not London Bridge.
London Bridge, we just got off the station near London Bridge.
Yeah.
It's very different. The history of Tower Bridge.
Please.
It was completed in 1894.
Okay.
It was built to ease traffic congestion while making the river access to busy pool of London docks.
Okay.
It took 8 years, 432 workers, and over £1 million to complete.
Oof.
Serving testament to Victorian engineering and resolutions. No, resilience.
There you go. We hear resilience a lot when it comes to London. I don't know why that is.
We come up with these grand ideas and then kind of get bit in the butt when they don't really work. And then we've already advertised the things that are going to happen, and then you kind of have to make it happen.
And so that's being resilient? It's just stubbornly not giving up on something that you probably shouldn't have started in the first place?
Yeah. It was designed by Sir Horace Jones.
Horace?
I don't know, it's spelled really weirdly. Horace. We're going to go with Horace because horse is a bit unflattering.
Horace Jones. I got a Horace Jones right now.
And it was engineered by Sir John Wolfe Barry.
Oh.
Do you think he got his sirness from making Tower Bridge?
Oh, do you think he was a sir before he started or after he finished?
Yeah, and do you think, why didn't the, if it was after he finished, why didn't the architect become a sir?
Ooh.
Yeah. Come on, step up your game. Anyway, Tower Bridge was a response to a practical need and a royal decree.
Okay.
So the royals, what's they called? The crown.
Yeah.
They set out like a competition sort of thing. For them to build, design something, and then the winner got to build it.
Wow. And look at the... I think this is the first time we've seen... Well, I don't know when it was painted last. The first time we're seeing rivets. Look.
That's true. We have not seen...
Exposed steel.
Yeah. Okay. What else? It was designed harmonious with historic Tower of London, showcasing the architect's commitment to aesthetic and functional excellence in the city's landmark.
Okay, and you can see that with things like this. You got these...
The turrets. No.
Turrets, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Turrets and cutouts as though you're going to fire arrows from this bastion.
Down here because that looks quite busy.
This is literally how we have to go up.
I know, but we can wait down here to finish this.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Okay.
So it's not loud.
Okay.
Okay, preservation efforts of Tower Bridge.
Okay.
It's maintaining its iconic bascules walk and walkways.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Is that so? At the top, isn't it glass, and you can see down?
Yes, that's right. They've added that.
Recent renovations are the glass floor installation.
Oh, there you go.
Energy efficient lighting. Ooh.
LED.
I quite like that.
Mm-hmm.
Updates to ensure the bridge remains beloved landmark, blending in historical integrity with modern innovations for future generations.
Okay.
I'm very flushed in the cheeks.
Am I?
Yeah.
Because it's sunny, and I'm not used to it.
That's true. Okay.
How would you describe the scene here in London today, Helena?
Caramelized peanuts. We're walking on the wrong side of the pathway. First thoughts. It's really quite large. And we were underneath the archways. There's a moulding pattern sort of thing, and it's mirrored in the shape of the metal framing, which I thought, oh, it probably was done the other way around.
Perhaps.
But either way, it's very nice. And then we were recognising that the... Recognising? That's not the right word, is it?
Acknowledging
that the new skyscrapers, very new, 20 years.
Less than 20 years,
because when my father here, co-host, he moved here, unfortunately, 20 years ago. And none of these buildings were here.
It's heaving today, isn't it?
Yes, it's a bit...
Lots of people taking...
It's sunny, though.
Snaps for the gram.
We're doing the same thing.
2 degrees. There you go, you can see the glass walkway.
Is that it?
Yeah, right there.
That advertising for this, when I was doing my research, suggests the whole thing is glass.
Is it?
No.
So where's the glass?
There's like, I want to say... 5 meters of glass, maybe a bit more.
So 2.5 co-hosts of glass on the upper floor.
Yeah.
So what we're describing is the is what? It's the upper.
I don't know what they're called.
It's a pedestrian walkway.
Yeah, the pedestrian walkway that goes between the two towers, but not at road level. The one above. The advertising online says that it's you can see full view, and I'm not so sure about that one, but. I don't know, we haven't done it, to be fair. So
how would you describe the tower, the towers and the sort of the two bastions that support the bridge?
I like the way they have incorporated the designs of tower of the Tower of London.
So what elements of the design of the Tower of London?
The... Tetrises.
The turrets?
Turrets, that's it. What's a Tetris?
I don't know what a Tetris is. A game invented
I don't know. Anyway, they use similar brick.
Yeah, so the stonework.
Oh my gosh, it's so busy. It's so busy. But yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
I think there's, I don't know. It's very busy. It's heaving, some would say. I would say.
Oh, free Wi-Fi and highlights tour. Do you want to just get the QR code and then you can see what you see on the tour? No? Okay.
Well, I could probably find it online.
Okay.
I don't know. Any hoodles? I don't know. What else is similar?
Well, but also I think this is the first building that we've seen with all
of this.
Oh,
yeah, the metal framing. We haven't seen any bolts, bare bones.
Yeah. So we saw in Regency what was the wrought iron, right?
Yeah, the fences.
But this time is
structural engineering and things like that. That's the first
out of iron and steel.
Yeah, iron and steel for the first time. So it's nice. I like the windows.
Okay, describe the windows. Describe the windows, please.
They're Gothic, I'd say.
Yeah.
Oh, look at the gargoyles.
Ooh, very good. So very Gothic.
Yeah, Gothic revival. This is what I was saying earlier about how on the ceiling it matches the metal.
Yes. So the stonework on the underside of the arch
matches the metal in the structure holding it up.
Okay. Yes, yeah. I can see that.
Let's
go acknowledge the architectural plaque.
Main towers, high-level walkways with a machine room. Oh, this is a description of Tower Bridge. The main level towers, high-level walkways and machine rooms under the southern approach of this bridge were opened to the public on 30th of June 1982.
Ah, so before that they'd just been, they hadn't been for public use,
yeah.
They'd just been engineering sites.
Yeah, because that's when they changed to... oil and electricity rather than steam.
Oh, I see.
So it probably is not as hot.
Or as dangerous.
Oh, I can whip out my questions.
Exactly. Let's answer some questions about how this is important to the soul.
Okay, Tower Bridge, historical significance is a symbol of London's engineering. Prowess and historical depth in contributing significantly to the city's identity. It shows the completion and the dramatic bus leap event are key moments in London's rich history. It's continuous restoration, like repainting and structural updates, maintain its unique features. The combination of Victorian Gothic and functional steel framework marks its importance in London's architectural heritage.
And we talked about that. Yeah, because the combination of the stonework mirroring the steelwork, and the steelwork is actually functional, but it's beautiful and it's very well maintained. So all those, you know, thousands and thousands of rivets and the blue and white, and the 400 people hammering rivets. Can you imagine that noise?
Yeah. What else? It serves as a vital pedestrian and traffic artery, symbolising London's dynamic culture. The bridge's opening ceremony and its inclusion in cultural events like the Olympic highlight is a cultural significance.
Yeah. The London Marathon runs over this soon.
Yeah. Aging infrastructure and adapting to modern standards without losing historical essence and poses challenges. So the glass walkway, maybe they didn't make the whole thing glass because it would make the appearance difference.
Oh, that's a good shout. Yeah.
Through careful planning and modern engineering solutions, challenges in preservation have been addressed, less glass. Preservation efforts to ensure it remains a testament to London's ability to blend in with history and modernity.
Modernity.
Yeah. Okay.
Like an American.
I feel like, I don't know. As an educational and cultural attraction, it inspires and connects Londoners and visitors alike. So it's, go back to last episode. Mm-hmm. At the end, we were talking about how tourism, how this is how people see London.
Okay.
But this is not the reality of London. Do you think this is another example of that?
To a degree, but it is still part of London. You know, this is a very important bridge. The next crossing is the tunnel underneath the bridge, or the tunnel underneath the Thames, and that's a horrible way to cross the Thames. So, and then you're really running out of places to cross. So, it's still
part of London.
It's still very much part of London.
So, do you think is this more of a combination between being a part of and being more of being locals and tourism rather than last episode, which was mostly tourism?
Yes, I just think, well, because fundamentally it's still a bridge and it's functional. I think some of the other things, in a similar way to some of the other things that we're going to see. So, that would be my one sort of counter to that.
Okay. So to conclude, for Tower Bridge then.
Yes.
Architectural preservation maintains the soul of London by honouring historical landmarks, its bridges past and present, enriching the city's cultural fabric and fostering a sense of identity and continuity among residents. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I can count on one hand the number of times that I used to commute across and got stopped because some boat was going underneath, but every time I got stopped I was overjoyed because I got to see the bridge open.
I don't think I've seen it yet.
Really?
I don't think so.
Well, I mean,
I've lived here for 17 years.
Yeah, and never seen it up.
I don't think so.
I think I've seen it twice, just twice. But it's a great excuse for why I was slightly late to work.
That's true.
Yeah.
Because they have decreased the number of times it's open.
Well, and also they try not to do it when it's rush hour.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, now we're going to Mayfair.
To go see the Church of
the Holy
Immaculate
Sibilance.
Sibilance. that was a bit chaotic. The trains were annoying, to say the least. Tubes were annoying. Okay, we're going to go to see the Church of Immaculate Conception.
Yeah, not contraception.
I didn't say that. I said conception.
You're going to edit that out from before?
I don't know. I haven't decided yet.
Okay.
This church is on Farm Street, so it could be called Farm Street Church. It has a, supposedly...
Wait, so hold on a second. Where are we in London right
we're
now?
We're in Mayfair.
How can you tell?
It smells like food. I don't know. It's very quiet.
There you go.
There's a lot of people in suits. Whoa, never mind. I don't know. It's just nice. Apparently, there's a hidden statue of Jesus, a homeless Jesus, in this church. So I'll have to hunt around.
Hunt around for hobo Jesus.
Yeah. what else? It was designed by J.J. Scalones. Scalones. His name is Joseph John. So we're going to be referring him as JoJo. JJ. Because I think... Or Jojo? Do you think
Jojo?
I think Jojo's the way to go.
Okay. Jojo and Pugbin? What's the other guy's name?
Poobin.
Poobin?
Poogin. Poogin.
Poogin has,
Poogin has an altar here. You beat me to it.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, what else? Oh, it had war damage, so we're going to see some preservation because they've supposedly fixed it. We have not seen yet. But yeah, I'm quite excited. I'm going to leave it till we get there to dig in, but I don't think we're far.
No, it's just that you can actually see the back of it right there.
Walked in on a wedding. We thought it was a service, and then I checked the service thing and it says there's one at 12:30 and then there's not another one until 5. Okay, we can talk about the building.
Talk about the building. Look at the arch and all of the decoration.
There's some babas.
But what does this remind you of?
Gothic.
Gothic. Absolutely.
It's not the same level as Westminster Abbey.
No. But it is very similar to Westminster Cathedral when we were in the choir, and that's of a similar age, right? And
yeah.
So you saw in the choir all of the carvings and decoration, in this case in stone.
So, things about this church.
Mm-hmm.
The architectural style is a great example of Victorian Gothic Revival architecture. It's elaborate decoration and stained glass. And the Poogin designed altar, so one of the architects of Victorian architecture, Poogin.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He designed the altar here, but he did not design
find
the
out.
Church.
You're going to find out when you go to school later, it's going to be Puggin or something.
Oh, it's fine. We're just going to keep calling him Poogin.
Poogin. Poog's my boy. And Jojo. And JJ.
And Jojo. No, he said Jojo.
Jojo, sorry.
Yeah.
Poog's and Jojo.
Poogin designed the altar, exemplified the era's fascination with medieval styles and the importance of ornate details in religious spaces, which you can really see.
Yeah, well, we haven't looked at the altar, but look at, I mean...
I know, but did you see the ceilings?
Yes.
Inside and the stained glass?
And but this entry arch at the back, because
we're
on
Domateria, la 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 la.
Well, that's just that's
Greek.
The house.
We're
of...
on Mount Street Gardens. That entrance.
Mm.
Inspiration, Jojo,
mm-hmm.
Was an esteemed architect.
Joseph John Scholes.
Jojo was an esteemed architect of his time. Designed the church.
Church drawing from medieval Gothic. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. The involvement of Poogin for the high altar.
Yeah, we'll go and see that.
Okay, preservation. So this church went through world wars,
mm-hmm.
and it had undergone damage, and there's been careful preservation to maintain its historical architectural integrity.
Okay.
This includes repairing war damages and conserving unique features.
Okay.
Gotta
go find those mosaics.
Yeah. Should we go find a homeless Jesus? I really like the... I don't know. Is the stonework similar to Tower London? Oh, never mind.
No, but you've got it. So it's big stone blocks, and then stonework, yeah. And then you have the
stained glass window.
Lots of stained glass.
The Gothic style window, very long, skinny.
And then Gothic arches, lots
buttresses.
Of buttresses. Yeah, flying buttresses. Mm. Everything buttresses. Is very, very Gothic in style.
Yeah.
Now, but unlike some of the other churches we've seen, is this is almost hidden away to a degree.
No, but St. Bart's Church was hidden away.
That's true. St.
Bart's
is
the
very
oldest church in London.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. And this is still obviously a, unlike some of the Christopher Wren churches in central London, this is still a church that is being used because we just walked in on a wedding.
I'm just whipping up my notes. We're now at the V&A because the wedding will be finished now in half an hour or 40 minutes. Where am I going? V&A. Okay. The V&A is a rich tapestry of Victorian and Edwardian style. So we're moving into Edwardian, and that's showing because this is less Gothic and more neoclassical.
What do you mean by that?
So instead of having, well, it still has a lot of ornate patterns and designs, but it's more like a temple with lots of columns and arches rather, like curved arches rather than pointed arches.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the columns, the balconies, the designs are less in the arches and more like just on the facades.
Okay, yes. So you don't have that sort of ornate stonework in the window. It's around the window.
Yes, and on the walls.
And the mouldings and the
exactly.
And the lintels. Okay.
The building showcases a mixture of red brickwork and terracotta decorations and intricate mosaics reflecting the museum's dedication towards decorative art. So the brickwork, this is because we're moving into, we're industrializing, so it's easier to make big, small bricks.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a photo. There's three different types of bricks in the building we're in right now. It's made out of, like, outside. The facade's made out of three different types of bricks, which is cool. It was founded in 1852, becoming a cornerstone in Prince Albert's vision for a cultural district devoted to art and science and education, which he pulled off. We've got the History Museum, the Science Museum, and the V&A.
Yeah, and then and Royal Albert Hall. We're going to go there next.
Yeah.
So you've got music arts. You've got all the different arts. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
So you know, when obviously it's Saturday, it's busy, busy.
Yes.
We've decided to chill in
the cafe because it's a very nice building.
But this is
and the rooms, like some of them, not the one we're in right now, but some of them are so ornate.
Yes.
And it's just decorated floor to ceiling, including the ceiling. Everything's just covered. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And it's bringing back that Gothic elements.
Some of the Gothic, absolutely, in there. And
but they're using more color rather than just stone because they have it at, like, they're able
it's available,
to.
And you've got wallpaper as well as the tiles, those beautiful tiles.
Yeah. The preservation, future plans for the V&A, marrying historical architecture with contemporary design by championing modern designs whilst restoring Victorian galleries. This initiative ensures the museum remains a dynamic, accessible space, true to its architectural heritage and forward-thinking ethos.
And so when you think about right now we're in this side cafe.
Mm-hmm.
And what elements can you see here that are similar to the older building, but obviously it's very different. So
the tile on the floor,
mm-hmm.
Is very, I don't decorative.
It's a very detailed precise, mosaic, very similar to the other gallery.
I also like how even though this is a more modern extension, they put mirrors in it so you can see through the windows into
the garden
and see the facade opposite us.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of brings you to like it joins you with the building, so it's not just a separate building all in itself.
Interesting. Okay, I love that. Great observation. The preservation is very much about making this a space that people want to enjoy.
Come to enjoy. And they change it so often, and the different shows on, they make it so it brings in more money because it brings in new interest. Okay. So it doesn't just stay the same.
And as far as its the external preservation, we'll take some photo of the bomb damage that's on Exhibition Road.
Yeah.
So it's been restored and invested in because obviously this new cafe.
Yeah.
And what role do you think that has in...
I mean, yeah, we're all for preservation and keeping the old, but you need to grow.
Okay.
So you can't always be... I don't know. They grow here. They don't just keep on having the same exhibits showing. Otherwise, people would get bored. People wouldn't come see it.
They've made it more accessible than it used to be, so more people can come.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Do you think it's still
a treasure?
A treasure or sort of a cultural...
The V&A contributes to a London's identity and global cultural hub, embodying the city's rich history in art and design education since the Great Exhibition.
Okay. Which was the Victorian times, I suppose. So, yeah.
It commemorates Prince Albert's vision for a cultural district, making key developments in London's educational and artistic landscape.
Okay.
The preservation efforts, like Future Plan, respect the V&A's unique architectural features, blending with Victorian and modern innovations to maintain its heritage. Yeah, we were just talking about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. I think you've said most of that.
Okay. So, what is its role in a modernizing city like London?
It maintains the soul by honoring its historical identity and ensuring that the past is celebrated alongside the new contemporary advancements. And it fosters a sense of continuity and belonging amongst its residents.
Okay. And you can sort of say, since the Great Exhibition, which to today, there's been an investment in arts and...
Yeah, it's increased.
Yeah, okay.
More people go to see art, more people go into art as a career,
okay.
I think.
And, well, and this is one of the museums that's free to enter as well.
Yeah.
So it's available...
Available, yeah, to everyone and anyone. And
okay, makes it accessible and, and therefore inspiring.
Yeah.
Okay. Shall we... jog on?
Sure. We just left the Blavatnik Hall.
Yes, Blavatnik entryway.
Yeah. The new entry that's been updated. Whoa, that's a nice car.
Yeah.
Also, my thoughts. I think they've kept a neoclassical archway.
Yes.
Before entering the new modern bit. And I think that really helps keep the kind of... the idea that it's part of the V&A. Otherwise, I think it would be quite separated because there's not a lot of similar design features other than the tile, and the tile's not the same style. It's just tile.
Okay. And do we know... well, maybe we should do a bit of research as to who designed it. But so it's a very modern, geometric glass-enclosed entryway.
Yeah. But I don't know, I like the OG stuff better, but I like their attempt at preserving it.
Oh, it's nice. Sort of...
Yeah, and it means that when doing exhibitions that the original building is less likely to get harmed.
Okay, because you have a new entryway that's accessible and you don't have to reconstruct that bit of the building. Okay.
Yeah. We're off to the Royal Albert Hall now.
Okay.
Shall I go in? The hall was erected for the advanced...
Wait, where are we? Hold on a second. Don't go straight in.
I said I was going to go straight in.
Where are we?
We're at the Royal Albert Hall.
Okay. And Palace to the Arts.
Yeah.
Okay. And...
Oh, do you want me to? I can do that.
I don't know. I don't quite understand what kind of architecture this is. It kind of looks.
It's neoclassical. Victorian. You know what I've just spotted?
What have you just spotted?
Christopher Wren's flowers in the.
Oh.
In the window arches.
Oh yes, again.
Everyone loves them.
Yes.
This is a lot more adorned. The walls, the facade at the bottom, and then there it goes into the manufactured red brick that we've been talking about this episode, and then
more stone, and
more
then
stone,
and then some gorgeous
mosaic
around the top,
and then what I was about to read before got interrupted.
Excuse me. Prompted.
I don't think it's an engraving. No, it's not engraving.
No, it's made out of tile.
Yeah. It says this hall was erected for the advancement of the arts and sciences and works of industry of all nations in fulfillment of intention and of Albert Prince Consort. The site was purchased when the proceeds of the Great Exhibition of the year
18 something something. We learned 18, about this.
Yeah.
18
or other. the first stone of the hall was laid by Her Majesty Queen Victoria on the 20th day of May in 18 something something. And it was opened by Her Majesty on the 29th of March on the year...
Something something something. How many later?
Not much later.
4 years later.
Thine, O Lord, is greatness and the power and the glory, victory and the majesty for all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. The wise and their works are in the land, in the hand of God. Glory to be God on high and earth peace.
So this is what's written at the top of this thing.
Yes.
Which actually gives you a sense of the scale, because that's a lot.
And it's not small. By us, it says.
Oh, we're at the end.
We're at the end.
There
well, that makes sense when
at the hand of God in glory, right
yeah,
here.
Yeah, one of the entrance. So.
Okay.
Door
4,
yeah.
To be precise.
Yeah, fine. The Royal Hall is an iconic example of Victorian architecture, distinguished by its circular design and ornate terracotta facade. Its Italianate style is characterized by intricate detailing, a mosaic frieze. So is that round side?
Yeah,
yes.
That's the bit around the top.
And use of innovative materials like wrought iron for its dome and showcasing the era's engineering and architectural ambitions. So this is going on to like how because we're going into the Industrial Revolution, we've had a lot a rapid increase in the engineering and it like,
and so you can have this enormous floating
dome. It's the world record biggest glass dome.
Is that right?
Yeah, that was one of my fun facts. Robert Owl's whole glass dome broke world record for its size.
Boom shakalaka.
Yeah, so but I was saying the engineering, so it's more of that a tower of bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're just moving into that kind of...
Doing it because
we're
you
can. Smart, so we're doing the choice.
There's the size.
Yeah.
The size and of...
Okay, it opened...
Who paid for this?
Oh, citizens.
Public?
Public, where did it say that? I said that here. I was actually about to get onto that.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Jumping ahead.
Where does it say? Oh, funded by public subscription. So people funded it, like, rich people of London.
Donated money for it
to be opened in 1871.
1871. Yeah. There you go. That's when Vicky.
It's more about Prince Albert trying to make the educational sector of London.
Yes, this arts and education sector, which is now...
It's worked.
Okay.
And it's been here for 150 years.
There you go.
It was designed by Captain Francis... Woke. The names of this time period are getting to me. How on earth are you? Jojo, Pug Pugin, Pugin, whatever, Fouque.
Augustus Pugin, thank
you. So it was designed by Captain Francis Fouque and then completed by Henry Daracot Scott. What are these names?
Daracot Scott?
But it's not like, it's not, oh, okay. The Royal Albert Hall reflects the Victorian architectural ambition and innovation. This is what we were just talking about.
Yes.
Inspired by ancient amphitheatres and desire to promote arts and sciences. It was designed, its design was groundbreaking, incorporating the world's largest unsupported glass dome shape by both engineer prowess and cultural vision.
There you go. So lots of natural light.
Mm-hmm.
Huge, huge dome.
See?
So, like the Parthenon in Rome? I don't know. Anyway,
yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Okay. Preservation.
Uh-huh.
This is really wild to me. Preserving the Royal Albert Hall has involved meticulous restoration efforts, including the organ's £1 million refurbishment and its acoustic improvements. The organ, when it was first built, it was less than £1 million. Restoring it
cost over £1 million.
But
the acoustic improvements.
Oh, the mushrooms.
Yes, the mushrooms and the ceiling.
They took down a bunch.
Yes.
So there was originally 146, and I think they said that was 50 too many. So now there's 96.
Okay. And when you talk about the mushrooms, what are the mushrooms?
The mushrooms are these kind of small dome things that
hang
from the ceiling in the main hall.
So that
the sound doesn't echo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
It absorbs sound.
52 many mushrooms.
Yeah. Above a magnificent. Well, no, what am I reading? I'm here. improvements with the iconic mushrooms. These efforts ensured the hall remains a beacon. I nearly read that as bacon. Of cultural heritage while adapting to modern performance needs, reflecting a commitment to maintaining its grandeur and historical significance.
There you go. And this is the place you want to be. If you are coming into town,
you go here.
And you want to put on a show, you come here.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless you're Beyonce or Taylor Swift, and then you go to the O2.
Yeah. Has Taylor Swift not played here? I'm not a Swiftie, I can't lie.
Okay, fine.
I haven't followed her.
Well.
Across.
The last thing I saw here was...
I saw something here ages ago, a couple Christmases ago.
My favorite thing, at one point, they ran a marathon here.
Inside?
Yes. Just running around in circles.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's sick. I like that.
Yeah. I can find you a photo.
But yeah, I really like this building. I like the contrast with the, is it tile or plaster?
Yeah, tile.
The tile and the red brick.
Yes.
That we've seen throughout. But it just has a more... pow effect here, the way they've used it.
And unlike the, I suppose, the Gothic Revival, this it has some of the things that you'd see in Georgian, in that it's very rhythmic and repetitive.
Yeah, very repetitive, very symmetrical. I like the fact it's round. It's kind of inviting.
Oh, and if you look in the window,
heels.
You see what it says on the
Victoria.
Top. It actually says Victoria. My goodness, they really like that queen.
Yeah. Wait, what was it I was reading about this? Victoria, I was meant to mention this at the V&A. It was her last appearance when she laid the stone at the V&A.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I think she's buried in the garden.
I actually don't know where she's buried.
Okay.
Probably not, though.
No, probably not.
No, but she laid the stone here with a gold shovel.
Oh.
Yeah, that was one of my fun facts.
Okay.
Queen Victoria used a golden trowel to lay the foundation stone.
And so as far as keeping this building as a part of London's soul.
Mm-hmm. It retains a unique character amidst the modernization, blending historical richness and contemporary vibrancy. It anchors the city's identity, offering community and a sense of place in a rapidly changing urban landscape. So it kind of, it's surrounded by other Victorian buildings. Like next to us, there's Victorian residences. I want to say they're Victorian. I think they are.
I think
probably. They've got the wrought iron and the red brick.
Yep.
and some very nice chimneys. And then we've got Hyde Park opposite.
Yes, and the Albert Memorial.
Yeah.
But then also, I think it part of the point is how its continued use as a place of cultural entry.
We're going to go back to the wedding.
Yes, hopefully they've cleared up by now.
Yes.
Maybe we can hit the reception.
Yeah. Munch.
Oh, shit. That's the bus we want. We want that bus.
Okay, we're going.
We're going.
In the sitting room.
It's a walk and talk.
We just went back into the church of the... I've forgotten the first bit.
Immaculate
Conception.
Way! Okay, let's try that one more time. We've just left...
The Church of the Immaculate Conception.
Boom! Okay. Want to do it one more time?
The Church of the Immaculate Conception.
Okay, so we just went to the Church of the Ignorant Contraception, and... Oh!
It was really, really gorgeous inside. It is... So the V&A and the Royal Albert Hall go back to the... more neoclassical, but this is very gothic, very ornate. The ceilings, everything, it's got that tall, narrow idea to it. What else?
Flying buttresses within.
The ceilings, the paintings on the organ, the paintings on the ceiling, I understand why they didn't shut up about the altar earlier.
Yes.
Whilst I was doing my research, all you could find was alter this, alter that. I understand.
Yes. What was it made out of? It was wood covered in gold.
Gold, yeah.
And then
around the altar, there was the marble around the priest's chairs.
Yes.
Stunning. preservation efforts include restoring wartime damages and conserving the Victorian Gothic details. It's Victorian Gothic Revival style, detailed ornamentation and historical fittings makes it a key piece of London's architectural heritage.
Okay.
Agreed.
Yep.
The church has been a spiritual haven and cultural landmark, hosting various community and artistic events. Yeah, there was modern art whilst we were there, like most churches we've been to. Threats include wartime damage and challenges of integration with modern facilities without compromising historical integrity. So compared to the V&A, it's challenging to modernise, to protect.
Yes.
But we did notice the change in the floor, the wooden floor, which had been updated, and there was stuff that hadn't.
Yes, well, and also the heaters that they had brought in sort of plumbed into the side. I mean, it's very difficult to keep, but it is it's a active place of worship.
Yeah.
And we heard the service earlier.
Gorgeous.
Quite a remarkable church.
Yeah.
We'll hit the tube, head back home, compose our thoughts.
We're back. It has been a fat minute. because we've had some technical difficulties and I had exams. But we're here to do the conclusion. Victorian architecture was like a round off. It showed a bit of everything.
Mm.
It had the... what's it called? Gothic Revival and the Neoclassical.
Yes.
And it showed... it's starting to show people actually like taking care of the buildings and making them more modern and so they get use out of them.
Okay, so
but still keeping like their that? History, like the V&A and the Royal Albert Hall.
Okay.
But then the Church of the Immaculate Conception, spot on. They've kind of kept that history and they haven't changed it as much as the other ones.
No.
They've got that big glass door at the front.
Yes.
But to protect it, but that's really it.
Yes.
And it's surrounded by all these big modern buildings in Mayfair, so...
So it's important because of its...
History and its connection. And the contrast. there you go, found it eventually. But yeah, I don't know. We're now in our Victorian home.
Yeah.
Concluding our Victorian episode.
Yes.
And I think
yeah.
I think it went smashingly well.
Okay. What's next?
Next we've got Edwardian.
Okay.
Which should be exciting. Follow us on Instagram. Leave us a review on Spotify. Email us. It's all at lena.architecture or Lena's Architecture Podcast. So it's pretty easy to find.
But those links are in the description.
Yeah. Have a lovely week. Bye.